This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are as follows. A very serious power grid hack. A shakeup at Uber. Artificial intelligence and the fight against AIDS. NASA and chemtrails. Bluetooth and a robbery and recovery. Plus, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1206 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, June 12th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Become an insider today or paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thank you for being here. Today is an audio-only show as I am still on the East Coast on travel. One more show from the East Coast, and then I'll be back in the studio. But that should not stop you from visiting geeknewscentral.com to subscribe to the show and the newsletter. We want you to visit geeknewscentral.com daily to read our great content. And, of course, subscribe to the shows there. Email address for this show is geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at geeknews. You can join our Slack chat channel by sending me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. And basically, I want to be on a part of the Slack channel. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook, and you can watch this show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Geek News Central on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, Watch, Review, and Blueberry.com, or tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, Pro Gear Site, written by my GNC team, The New Media Show, co-hosted with myself and Rob Greenlee, and of course, the podcast Legend Show. This show has the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that, of course, is GoDaddy. GoDaddy should be getting a world record from the Guinness Book of World Record for having sponsored a podcast the longest in podcasting space. They've been with us since July of 2005, and we want to thank them for being an ongoing sponsor. We want to make sure that you take advantage of all the deals by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's where you'll find discount codes on domains, 30% off of new products and purchases. You can get hosting accounts for just $1 a month for 12 months. That's an awesome deal, which also includes a free domain. So all those deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Use a code, share them with a friend, link back to them on Twitter. If you use a code, let me know for sure, and I'll promote the site that you're launching. So definitely check out all the promo codes, again, available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, I tell you what, Ben, just absolutely, you know, it never stops. Things are just busy all the time for me. I think that is just a given at this point, in that my hours are pretty much filled end to end. No exception. Friday, I got done with meetings early afternoon. Drove to Dulles, parked the car, got into the airport. And this is, you know, for me, when I travel, I usually have a suitcase in tow and I have to go check the suitcase. So I really don't get this chance to travel light. This time it was beautiful. I mean, straight to security. Didn't even go to the counter. Use my phone with the app to go through a TSA pre. Got to the gate plenty early. Grabbed some dinner. Flew the short flight to Michigan, got off the flight, waited for Hertz. And finally, when they did pick us up, went over to the Hertz lot, and my name wasn't on the board. And that started a series of events that has me, at this point, no longer willing to use Hertz as a rental car company. They definitely burned their bridge with me, and I'm, at this point, very unforgiving when it comes to companies, and I'm not giving them a second chance. It was bad, from everything from a number of cars that they didn't have to not being able to process 30 or so of us through a line. Long story short, I think I finally got in the car about 12:50 a.m., and I knew I had about a two-hour drive, but with the traffic being no traffic, I made good time, and I rolled into my driveway at 2:30 in the morning, and by the time I kind of got a shower and got cleaned up and crashed, it was about 3. I got up at 6:30 or 7, started to help my sister and mother get ready for the party. Got some drone time in. Then we had the graduation party. She had her party before the graduation, which was cool. Family, friends, neighbors, all that type of stuff going on. And then that took it all the way to about midnight on Saturday. Then Sunday, it just was a scorcher in Michigan. Probably 90 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. I'm a little bit of a lobster at this point. I got cooked, even though I used a bit of sunscreen, not enough. But graduation had no more than, 10 minutes after it finished. Hugs and pictures, and I got to go. jumped back in the car and drove to Detroit. Got into Hertz plenty early. And then the bus took 45 minutes just getting out of the lot. So that made my connection pretty close. I got to the airport. If I had to check a bag, I'd have been done. I wouldn't have made it. So rolled through and basically walked from TSA straight to the gate, and they were boarding at the time I walked up the gate, and I got on and then caught the flight back. And but anyway, my evening ended about 11:30 last night. So very, very full, busy weekend, and then start right off this morning with right into this week's schedule. So yeah, I'm just a little bit strung out. Did not go to the gym today. Just did not have time yet. So get back on track tomorrow. The gym in the hotel, that is. But other than that, that's it. So we'll get into the tech content. We'll chit-chat here about what's going on in the space. Want to thank our executive producer, Kirk, for getting the show prepped up tonight. Him and I are getting synced up pretty good. He, very few articles tonight I killed, added a few, not a lot because I didn't have a lot of time, but, I think we're doing well as a team here. So good job to Kirk, and we'll get him more busy as I kind of get ready to go back to Honolulu and we get the Podcast Legends show ramped up. But one thing that caught my attention today was a story in Wired talking about how hackers struck an electric transmission station north of the city of Kiev, blackening a portion of the Ukrainian capital, equivalent to about a fifth of its total power capacity. The outage didn't last a long time, about an hour. But now cybersecurity researchers have found some evidence that the blackout may have just been a dry run. The hackers appear to have been testing a evolved specimen sabotaging malware, and they believe that this malware and what they've done can be interchanged and can be used against the U.S. grid as well. The researchers describe the malware, which they alternatively named Industroyer or Crash Override, is only the second ever known case of malicious code purposely built to disrupt physical systems. The first, of course, was Stuxnet. It was used by the U.S. and allegedly Israel to destroy centrifuges, in an Iranian nuclear enrichment facility in 2009. But the researchers say this new malware can automate mass power outages and include swappable plug-in components, could allow it to be adapted to different utilities throughout the world. So they say this could just, shut down the grid. The impact is huge here, says ESET security researcher Robert Litvosky. If this is not a wake-up call, he says, I don't know what could be. And the adaptability of the malware means that the tool possesses a threat not just to critical infrastructure of Ukraine, but to other power grids around the world. So one thing that could really set us back, shut the power off in a big way, it can cause chaos and lots of disruption to markets and so forth. Switching gears here, a top Uber exec is slated to step down, and we're going to have a big report tomorrow that we'll be able to talk about on Thursday's show about what's been going on within the company. But Emil Michael, Senior Vice President of Uber and a close ally of CEO Travis Kalanick, is going to leave the company. So he's out, and Uber's talking about bringing in an independent board member as well to help with, have a little outside look. But this may not be the end of the fallout. We will be able to probably find that out tomorrow as this report comes online. Also, there's a cool article over on Extreme Tech talking about artificial intelligence being used to look at the HIV/AIDS pandemic. As many of you know, like many other communicable diseases, the AIDS virus or HIV strain, has the ability to morph. And there's about a dozen subtypes within just one group that you have to look for, and markers and so forth when they're doing studies and figuring out how to treat patients with HIV. And it's difficult to make antibody-based drugs fast enough to keep up with the viruses that constantly are shuffling around its makeup. Trials for a vaccine are ongoing, but nobody's quite got it, partly because of this ongoing mutation. But they feel that the strength of AI could help reduce the amount of time that is needed to review new strains and be able to react quicker, thus limiting, hopefully the spread and the impact. So they feel that the artificial intelligence is going to be able to replace, teams of dozens and doing that work in short order, allowing those scientists to, focus on cures instead of, basically using AI to really up its game here. So we will see where this goes, but they feel there's a lot of utilization of AI in medical and bio. I think we all can agree to that. If we're going to go into the StarTech generation where we're being scanned by a machine and the machine says, well, this is what's wrong with you, and applies a fix, we're going to need artificial intelligence to take us there. Many of you conspiracy theorists that listen to this show already know about chemtrails, and and the way I'm saying it that way is some of you will get it, some of you won't. But NASA is trying to launch a small rocket to create multicolored clouds in the sky. And apparently this is going to go down tonight. And it's going to be from the coast of Virginia. And just a few minutes after launch, the rocket will release a canister filled with various chemicals, forming green and red artificial clouds that are going to be seen or may be seen along the East Coast as part of a plan to study how particles move in the upper atmosphere, which could help better study parts of the atmosphere, their electrical charge by solar cosmic radiation and so forth. They say this has nothing to do with chemtrails and it's not going to be harmful, but makes you wonder why we're seeding the atmosphere. A company in California showed up to work, and a company called Roambee, R-O-A-M-B-E-E, and they found their office in Santa Clara ransacked. The burglar said made such a mess it was hard to tell what was missing. There were monitors and other computer equipment gone, and their operations room had been tossed for anything that might fetch a good resale price. They basically gotten in and just cleaned it out. But one of the boxes, or two of the boxes that they took, had a GPS trackers that were used to track high-value shipments. So I've used these before on luggage. Basically, you put the tracker in, and the device calls home anytime that it can connect via Bluetooth, or if it gets a satellite signal, it basically sends a little bit of information back on where it's at. So what they did is they upped the refresh rate on those devices to update more often, and they were able to tell the police, this is where you need to go. And they went to a storage facility, and they were able to determine which storage facility it was in, and they popped the lid on it, and sure enough, all their stuff was found. So police were pretty excited about this, but here's the thing. You know, cell phones being stolen has been reduced significantly because we can brick phones after they've been ripped off, but you know, laptops and that type of stuff are still high on the pilfering list. A lot of companies out there are putting together tech that will bring some of this tracking into our electronic devices. I think that's pretty exciting at some point that they're going to, you know, we're going to be able to do that. We're going to be able to, you know, if we have a device that's stolen, it will essentially call home. You know, with Macs, there's, you can find your devices often. So anyway, this is an interesting development, a cool way to catch some bad guys. But I guess they just didn't know what they were looking at. There's a report over in Ars Technica that there are more than 2 million electric vehicles on the road around the world. According to an IEA report, Norway and China have been pulling the weight when it comes to EV sales. There was more than 750,000 EVs sold worldwide last year compared to 547,220 in 2015. But still, with only 2 million EVs on the road, they only make up 0.2% of the total light-duty passenger vehicles around the world. And the growth of the number of electric cars on the roads actually slowed in 2016 compared to 2015, leaving policymakers and sustainable growth advocates worrying how to continue to grow the global fleet to meet change mitigation goals. Well, here's the problem. Not enough chargers. If you're going to have an EV car, you got to have a charger at home. But there, a lot of people that live in condos and apartments can't put a charger in, so they're reliant on chargers that are out in town. Just not enough of them. That's a big part of the problem, and I think that's what slowed EV growth in Hawaii. All right, Father's Day is coming up. There's never been a better time to buy an Amazon Echo. Amazon Echo is already promoting solid Father's Day deals on the entire Echo and Kindle lineup, but if you don't mind buying a refurb, this lightning deal blows everything else we've seen out of the water. $110 is $25 to $40 less than the usual refurb price, $70 less than buying it new. Link will be up in the show notes. This will go fast. And honestly, I don't know what they can refurb on a Echo. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So probably very underutilized devices. All right, Hubble's hit the jackpot. Images captured ultra-bright galaxies via cosmic magnification. This is an amazing picture. Absolutely amazing. The galaxy captured in images sparkle like jewels of cosmic light. The massive collections of stars are each as many as 10,000 times more luminous than the Milky Way. In the infrared range are 10 trillion to 100 times the brightness of the sun. They're also forming about 110,000 new stars each year, according to a statement by NASA. By comparing it, it's estimated that fewer than 10 stars form in the Milky Way. This is really awesome. And they did some really cool stuff to get this image. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. It is my new background, of course. Alexa may be coming to TiVo and maybe to IFTTT2. So this is because TiVo just won a big judgment against, I'll have it later in the show, but it was a internet service, Comcast. They just won a big judgment based upon intellectual property theft. So, but anyway, Alexa may be coming to TiVo and IFTTT soon, so just be aware of that. If you use either the IFTTT app or actually a TiVo, you'll be able to be directing it here with Alexa. All right, if you've got some iOS app subscriptions and you're having a hard time canceling them, you know, maybe your kids have signed up for something or you've signed up for a magazine or something like that or news, and we've got the story on how to cancel your useless iOS app subscriptions to save yourself some money. Link will be up in the show notes on that. The WannaCry malware that really made a lot of news was allegedly to have come out of China based upon analysis of how the malware information was written up. There was more than one company that claimed that it came out of China. But boy, oh boy, there's been some people in China that have been very, very outspoken. They didn't come from us. Well, I'm thinking here that the Chinese are probably covering six at this point. But long story short, I have a link up in the show notes on that. You probably don't care where it came from. I in particular don't care either, but I find it's interesting of the ongoing denial that's out there. All right, your mouse movement could save you from identity thieves. Researchers in Italy say they've developed a machine learning algorithm that knows when people are lying online. It's like a lie detector for your mouse. Mouse movement has already been catching lies for a while now, but mostly machine generated falsehoods. Years back, research discovers a way to detect robots online based on quickly they click. And robots started using a similar feature for the I am not a robot test. If a mouse moves too quickly and unnaturally, when clicks on the box, a clicker is apparently not a human. Of course, now researchers are learning how to use a mouse movement to catch humans who are lying. In a study published in the journal PLOS ONE last month, Italian researchers looked at how people move their cursor when they're telling the truth and when they are lying. That's interesting. So honest answers are apparently very straight, and lies are kind of curved or wiggle a little bit. So I was kind of like, well, that's kind of interesting. So people that drag their mouse in a straight line are telling the truth, and people that are doing kind of curved, how do they really know this? This is, anyway, interesting. Link will be up in the show notes, of course. You know, one thing that I have to say about technology, it's always advancing. And something that was looked at 20 years ago may need to be looked at again from a scientific standpoint. Scientists researching one of the world's first dinosaur finds have discovered the existence of five teeth they did not realize it had. The Megalosaurus, which was founded in Stonefield, Oxfordshire, and was the first dinosaur to be named in 1824. Universities at the University of Warwick have created a 3D scan of the dinosaurs and found previously unseen teeth. They said the research would help with future restoration on the specimen. So they took about 3,000 x-ray images of the jawbone, creating a three-dimensional image, and we were able to come up with great detail on it. So very, very cool. Very, very cool. I wonder if they'll be x-raying us 1,000 years from now. It's time to give Adam West, Batman, his due. And we lost Adam West on June 9th. And for Batman fans, his passing stings. West made a tremendous impact on comics and pop culture. And he really was a character who was so, arguably the most important superhero of the modern era. And I'd struggle to find younger fans who claim as their Batman, but he definitely was my first Batman. But, he was originally in, Batman and Robin back in the 60s. So, very, very cool, and sad to see him pass. But, he was pretty old, in his 90s. So, RIP Adam West. Broadband speeds have soared under net neutrality rules, the cable lobby is saying. Oh my God. The cable industry's top lobbying group has consistently claimed that U.S. current net neutrality rules harm network investment and raise costs for consumers. Well, I think it does raise costs for consumers, but yet that same group is now bragging about dramatic increases in broadband speed and claiming that broadband prices are going down. Don't think so. They have a chart. Quarter one 2012, the average speed was 23.4 megs, and compared to quarter one 2017, they're claiming 86.5 as the average peak connection speed in the United States. What about the folks in rural America that are stuck on the slow boat? I was at my mom's place, and let's be honest, my MiFi and my Verizon account was faster. So rural America is definitely getting the short end of the stick on this supposed renaissance in speeds. But, it's interesting how the internet service providers twist everything to make it look like it's all hunky-dory. IBM has, this is a really weird story. IBM warned itself of possible outages when they were going to do a lab shift. They made these announcements that they were moving a couple of their labs to the cloud and that they could see for many weeks as much as 20% impact to operations. Well, they canceled the move. And they say it's been delayed. But really? Let's be honest here. Do we really think that maybe they realize, we're already hurting financially. Do we really want to shut things down? Anyway, that kind of a weird news out of IBM. But the move is not happening. But they looks like they were pounding their own heads into the wall. There's a leak of a purported iPhone 8 metal frame. So if you ever wanted to see what the guts of an iPhone 8 look like or iPhone look like, this will give you a little bit of an idea. So link will be up in the show notes on that. So it looks pretty convincing. If you own an Xbox One, Seagate has come out with a game drive that offers 8 terabytes of storage. What are you guys using PlayStation 4? What are you guys using for external storage? My kids always complaining about that. I gave them a regular hard drive, but I don't think it worked. So, what are you PlayStation users using for external storage? There's a story over on Uber Gizmo where they're saying that giving a smartphone to a kid is akin to giving them a gram of cocaine. A top addiction therapist in the UK is cautioning parents that giving a smartphone to your child may be damaging as giving them a gram of cocaine. The comments were made by Harley Street Rehab Clinic Specialist at Mandy Sagari at an education conference in London. She mentioned that apps like Instagram and Snapchat can prove to be just as addictive for vulnerable teenagers as drugs and alcohol. So, I must say, I think there's a lot of adults that are addicted to their smartphones, including me. All right, Sprint is going to be the exclusive carrier of the Essential Phone, the state-of-the-art Essential Phone from Andy Rubin, the creator of the Android mobile platform, is going to be exclusively on Sprint. So those of you that were thinking about picking one up, sorry, you can't get it for AT&T or Verizon. Lyft has teamed up with Jaguar to test autonomous cars. So I need to ask a favor here. Ask a question. My niece is considering buying an autonomous vehicle. She's not going to, just let me give you a little background. She was with my dad when my dad was killed years ago, 11 years ago. And she's at the age now where she needs to be a little more independent, but she has difficulty. She can drive, but she wants a little bit of assistance when she's driving, a driver assistance type of features that will make it safer for her to ride. Now, when I was talking with my mom about it, I told her she should just buy a Tesla. That she should just, if that was the case, then she wanted to have something that was, but she doesn't necessarily want to get a Tesla, but she wants something with good driver assist features. Now, I know Ford has driver assist features, but What are you guys, you know, what are you finding out there when you're looking at cars? I know BMW has a lot of stuff. So what we're really looking for here is driver assistant features that will make a vehicle more safe for my niece who can drive, but is, you know, just a little bit, you know, she needs a little confidence building in a vehicle. So what do you guys think? What would you recommend? Which make and model of a car would you make? I still think she should buy a Tesla, but maybe it doesn't have all of those driver assist features that she's looking at. But anyway, back to the story, Lyft has teamed up with Jaguar to test autonomous cars. You know, Jaguar Land Rover is the latest long line of companies to team up with Lyft. And the ride-sharing company, you know, recently scored $600 million in investment, $25 million, which came from Jaguar. But it wasn't just cash that the automaker is supplying. It's also handing over a fleet of vehicles to help the pair test autonomous cars. So we will see where this goes. But what do you guys think is the best driver assist vehicle out there today? Let me know. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right, the Moto E4 Plus offers a huge battery. So if you're using your Android a lot and you are always running that sucker out of juice, the Moto E4 comes with a 2,800 mAh battery. That's huge. It's $130, so it's not necessarily a top-of-the-line phone, but it does come with a Qualcomm Snapdragon 425 or 427 with 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, and a 5-inch 720p display, and guaranteed to last you a long time. If you can spend an extra $50, the $180 Moto E4 Plus is almost certainly the way to go, and it comes with a 5,000 mAh battery. So, wow, that's more juice than we got from last year's Moto E. So it's very, very serious power handling capabilities of these phones. Also, researchers have done something cool. They made a battery out of trash, and it's actually a super efficient battery, one that will do many cycles, fast charging, and may at some point be a potential replacement for lithium batteries. The scientists started with rusty recycled stainless steel mesh and used a potassium ferrocyanide solution, which is also used in wine production and fertilizers, to dissolve ions out of the mesh layer of rust. Those ions included iron and nickel, then combined with other ions in the solution. Together, they formed a salt that clung to the mesh as a scaffold of nanocubes. It could store and release potassium ions. The movement of potassium ions allows for conductivity, which was boosted with an additional coating of oxidized graphite. So all kinds of ways to make batteries. And if any of you had any type of science class, you know it's a pretty easy to make a battery. Now, they're not always that efficient, but you can make them yourself. A jailed fraudster admits to running his same cold caller con from behind bars. This guy got arrested by basically bilking people out of millions of dollars or millions of pounds by, you know, basically social engineering people's account information from them. He continued the scam even after he got arrested. So he's been sentenced to 11 years, but now he's going to go back and face more charges for continuing the scam while he's been locked up. Well, I guess he wanted a big nest egg. All right, there's a bill in progress that tweets will be official presidential records if the COFI Act passed. And America's 45th president, we all know, is writing a lot of tweets, but U.S. Representative Mike Quigley wants him to stop. As such, Quigley and money introduced legislation to force the National Archives to include social media as part of the Presidential Records Act, and he's calling it the Communications Over Various Feeds Electronic for Engagement, or the COFI Act. Anyway, so we'll see if this makes it through. And I don't know if this guy's a Republican or a Democrat, but if he's a Democrat, it won't go anywhere in this current group of people that are in office. Facebook is building features to let you subscribe to news publications. So you'll be able to get news publications like the Wall Street Journal right inside Facebook. And I'm not going to do that. Can you believe that? Really? Come on now. My goodness. There's already enough fake news in our Facebook feeds. We don't need any more. what else here? I already talked about that. Hey, a U.S. top court has rules for Microsoft in an Xbox class action fight. The U.S. Supreme Court of Money ruled in favor of Microsoft Corp in its bid to fend off class action claims by Xbox 360 owners who said that popular video game console gouges disc because of a design defect. The court in an 8-0 ruling overturned a 2015 decision by the San Francisco-based Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Oh, surprise, surprise that that got turned over, that allowed the console owners to appeal the dismissal of their class action lawsuit by a federal judge in Seattle in 2012. So this dies right there. That particular class action suit is done. In other news, Pakistan, in a first, has sentenced a man to death over what he said on social media. An anti-terrorism court in Pakistan has sentenced a Shiite man to death for committing blasphemy in posts on social media. The man, Tamar Razi, 30, was found guilty making derogatory remarks about the Prophet Muhammad, his wives, and others on Facebook and WhatsApp. He was sentenced to death on Saturday. It was the first time anyone has been given a death penalty for blasphemy on a social media in Pakistan. Mr. Razi can appeal the sentence. Blasphemy remains a highly contentious issue in Pakistan, where mere allegations of offense can lead to violence and killings by vigilante mobs. Critics contend the country's blasphemy law has been used to settle personal disputes and is worse in interfaith relations. So, can't always say what you want to say in some countries. Hey, The Verge has a review of the new iPad Pro 10.5. And basically they say this monster will not be able to take care of or utilize all of its benefits until iOS 11 comes out. So they don't think the iOS 11 is going to turn the iPad into something like a Mac or a Windows PC, but they do think that it will unlock opportunities for both users and developers that aren't there today, and that all the power inside the iPad Pro will work better for those with new features. Most people just use iPad Pro to surf Facebook and watch movies or read their Kindle. Is any of you doing any serious work with your iPad Pro? I use mine for presentations. So anyway, which is totally overkill. But it's cool, it hangs out, and it looks beautiful. Microsoft has premiered the Xbox One X, a story over in geeknewscentral.com. This is, they've unveiled the world's most powerful console, formerly codenamed Project Scorpio, in its the largest, most diverse games lineup in E3 history, broadcast for the first time in 4K UHD on Mixer. Xbox showcased a record 42 games in its briefings, including 22 with console exclusivity from creators large and small. Coming to Xbox One market starting in November 7th, Xbox One X will retail for $499, £499, €499, $599 Canadian dollars, and $649 Australian dollars. Xbox One is going to be a powerhouse. And a link will be up in the show notes for those of you that are, and the number of games, along with a video of the premiere is linked up in the show notes. And we definitely want to thank Jen for putting that up. If you are a Windows user and you're not familiar with how to do a system restore in Windows, sometimes doing a system restore is important when an update goes awry. There's a little bit of an instruction tutorial on Uber Gizmo. I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Last article for tonight is astronomers on Coast to Coast AM are questioning the WOW signal. You know, somewhat unsurprising development, several astronomers expressed skepticism over recent claims that a comet caused the legendary WOW signal. A peer-reviewed paper penned by astronomer Antonio Paris made headlines last week when it seemingly solved the nearly 40-year-old mystery once and for all. Paris' findings suggested that the mysterious space signal that has baffled scientists for four decades was the result of a mission coming from a comet. Since then, a number of prominent experts have called into question the conclusion of the Paris study and have pointed out issues which suggested his research was flawed. Perhaps the most compelling problem noted by astronomers surrounding a radio telescope known as Big Ear, which detected the WOW signal, The particular device featured two detectors worked separately to pick up a radio transmission twice, although the reception was separated by a gap of about 1 minute. In case of the WOW signal, however, it was only spotted on one of the detectors, and astronomers, including Paris, have no explanation for why that is. So, anyway, we'll see. Anyway, that the WOW signal continues to WOW people because the WOW signal was 6EQUJ5. All right, that's it for tonight's show. I get you in and out of here, get you out of here quick. A lot of fun. I love it too. Finishes me up early. And the phone was ringing, my wife was calling, so I got to call her back. Hey, if you love the show, send your comments to... Oh, I have some email. Wait. Let me load the comments. You guys are sending me great pictures. Michael, dude, you work in an open pit mine in Wyoming? Do you drive one of those big trucks? One of those big dumb trucks? Or what? I see your picture. Awesome. How noisy is it inside that cab? And how many loads up and down do you do a day? We want to hear more. Michael, I want to hear more about your open pit mine in Wyoming, what you do. And he basically sent me a screenshot of GNC number 1201 and on the charger listening to it. So very, very cool. Looks like he even got a little hands-free device there. And awesome. If I ever get to Wyoming, I'm going to come hang out with you and go for a ride. Another email that we got, or that I received, was it was from Michael about William Shatner. He says, your comments from last Monday night show at the very end regarding to William Shatner reminded me of the classic movie Galaxy Quest, where Tim Allen played a Shatner-like character. At the start of the movie, he was too good to show up to the sci-fi conventions with the rest of the cast members. So now, Kirk is too popular, too famous to do podcasts. But Michael, he has done podcasts. In real life, he didn't initially go to the convention, but then eventually embraced the fandom. Maybe if he lives long enough, he'll realize their value. Maybe tell him you use Hotwire to book your air flights and hotels. Live long and prosper. Thank you, Michael. All right, got an email from George. He says, hola, Todd. 10 p.m. on the roof, chilling on a hammock. The two tall buildings in the background are the tallest in Barcelona in Spain, catching up on all my favorite podcasts. So George sends me a picture from the roof and taking a shot. So very, very cool. And this is, see this, folks, this is why this show is listened in 140 plus countries around the world. Don't think anybody in North Korea listens. At least we haven't detected that. But very, very cool. And listening in Barcelona. I've only been in Spain maybe twice, and it was, and forgive me here because it was a very short period of time. It was near the Rota Air Base when I was active duty, out in town a couple of times. Had a great time. And one thing I'll say about Spain is that you guys love your olives. I think I was shocked. I went into a grocery store and there was barrels of olives, if I remember correctly. And I think I was just like, I think my jaw dropped down into my chest. I just couldn't believe it. Now, I'm not an olive fan, but that's one thing I remember about Spain. And late night dinners and late night partying and very, very cool. So 10 p.m. chilling on the roof. Very, very cool, George. Thanks for your submission. So we want to hear from you. Where are you listening right now? So what I want you to do is take a picture where you're at. Take a shot right now. If you're on the road, highway, wherever it may be, in your car, at the gym, grab your phone, take a picture. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place to send it. And we're going to continue to figure out where people listen to the show. Very, very cool. All right, everyone, take care. And geeknews@gmail.com is the place for comments. We'll be back here Thursday for another On the Road Show. Everyone, take care. Aloha.